Hey, welcome to another episode of Why Not You. This is your host, D. Wells. Hey, welcome to part two of three episodes with Dr. Washington. Hey, you know, I think I'm just going to call him Mr. Story Man from now on. Anyways, get those pens and notepads out as we get into it. Let's go.
It took me about, I don't know, a month and a half, you know, or so. Then I would call him up. I'll just make his name, Hey, Bill, I got some things I don't want to talk about. Right. Hey, Hey, Bill, I got some things I don't want to talk about. Right. Yeah. And then that was the freedom, because those six secrets, those are the six secrets that was keeping me sick, you know. And if I concealed those things, there's no way that I could be healed. You see?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And so, and that's it, you know, and that's when I work with people. I say, hey, you know, can you give me a sign? I say, hey, what are some of the things you don't want to talk about? You know, like that. And it just like a freight train hit them. Boom.
Right.
You know? And so I know, I've known this for years, that I always have to talk about the things I don't want to talk about, you know, even if it means, you know, I'm talking with, you know, accountability partner, where, either, you know, talking with my wife about something, whatever it may be, you know, I have to, even to this day, have to be like, I'll share this, because, you know, there's no shame in my game as far as six secrets. It's like I was when I was, you know, because I spent a lot of time, you know, with online videos and working on, you know, the YouTube channel and working with different platforms to get things done. And I would mess around with people, as far as I know they were like scammers and, you know, different things like that. And I got a lot of enjoyment out of that, you know, just like, you know, tricking them and playing them along and, you know, leading them along. And then, you know, just like, no, I don't want to use your services. You know, your writing is not any good. You know, you can't even write a sentence, you know, just different things like that. But I would spin. I have an addictive personality. So I would kind of get intrigued with that and look at it. And it was like an escape. So if you, for those who are listening, if you want to know how Satan is using you, what do you escape to? What is your escape? You know, and what are you trying to escape from? You know, then I'm trying to escape from doing things that I need to be working on.
Right.
And so, what I had to do is like, you know, one day, one of the leaders at the church, I said, can I talk to you? Right. And so he said, sure. I said, hey, I didn't use slippery slope. I said, hey, I just got some things I just need to be, not current on, but accountable for. I said, I am spending way too much time on, you know, a certain platform, just watching, you know, things and interacting with people, you know. And he says, his reply to me, he said, oh, yeah, I'm glad you said that, because, you know, I'm the same way. I watch too much. And his was like, what was it? A certain kind of show, nothing inappropriate, but it was his escape, you know, in there, you know, boom, boom, boom. You know, I forgot what it was. It wasn't anything inappropriate. And so he said, sure, Harry, you know, yeah, we'll do that. Right. But he didn't know what was coming next. Because this is something that I practice. This is something that I encourage other people to practice, right? Is that to be accountable for 30 days straight, you know, because there's studies out there, you know, about changing your habits and different things like that,
right?
And you should give it a good 30 days. So the next morning I woke up.
So when you say 30 days, are you referring to like talking with somebody for 30 days?
You can talk to them for 30 days, but what I did with him is that the next day I sent him a scripture that I read and my thoughts behind it.
Got it.
Right? Let him know it was a good day, or it was going to be a good day. And if anything changed, I would let him know.
Got it.
Right? So I sent him the text, you know. Day two rolls around, right? I do the exact same thing. Then it dawns on me, he's probably not used to this. You know, I'm used to this because that's what I've teach. That's what I've taught my clients. And that's what I practice. Mm-hmm. That's what I learned in different men's group and programs. Right. Is that accountability. And so then I let him know, I said, hey, I hope you don't mind. Probably day three or four. Yeah. I'm going to do this to you for 30 days. Right. And he says, he responds back, Harry, I have to be honest with you, right? Yeah. This is helping me too.
That's right.
This is helping me too. I said, well, praise God. Yeah. Okay. Right. And so, you know, I do it. And knowing that you're going to be accountable to someone, or you can use a calendar to stay away from certain, you know, behaviors, you know, you just check it off. Say, I'm get these 30 days, boom, mm-hmm. boom. Because what's happening is that you're detoxifying mm-hmm. your body. You're detoxifying your spirit. You're detoxifying your flesh, if you will. And that's like when you go to a drug rehab program, you know, they say like, you know, 30 yeah. days, you get, you know, and you know about that 30 days, whether it's drugs or whether it's alcohol. You know, 30 days. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You want to know a big problem that I had with the programs, and I was thankful that I was able to blessed to be a part of. For my buddy asked me, I had helped him. He was, where did I first meet him at? Oh, I met him at a drug rehab. I met him at a drug rehab, one drug rehab, and you know, helped him out and helped his family out. You know, mm-hmm. by just teaching him Jesus and baptizing them into Christ for the remission of their sins. And, you know, and his life just took off, and he just was very good with people. He was a good organizer. So he moved up in that recovery world, and he became the director of a drug rehab, right?
Right.
A Christian drug rehab. He became the director. Right. And I was, you know, so proud of him. You know, one day he called me up. He says, Harry, say, I got a question. I'm over here at this Christian rehab, and there's nothing Christian about it. He said, there's nothing Christian about it. He said, will you come in here and do a Bible study? And I said, sure, I'll come on. He said, but Harry, I need a 6-month commitment. Now, mind you,
whoa.
I spent 20 years in the military, and it's like my first or second year of retirement. I said, I'm not making another commitment to anybody, you know. And so, but, you know, for that, I said, let me pray on it. And quite naturally, you know what God is going to say, you know. I don't even know why you're asking me. Right. You know. You know. You know, I well, God, I just want to check in with you in case you had something different, you know. Right. So I made that 6-month commitment. And that 6-month commitment turned into 3 years. It turned into 3 years, which praise God for that, you know. So I was able to, you know, work with a lot of people, you know, on opening that door yeah. to be able to do that. And so inside that program, they had like the 30 days. But my biggest thing was, it's like, okay, they tell them no drugs, no alcohol. And after 30 days, they could go and on their pass, their first path, right? And they would not start off doing drugs or alcohol. Someone didn't even do drugs, alcohol, but they went for that number one drug, the most powerful drug on the face of the universe. And that's lust, right? That's the number one drug on the face of the universe. Why I call it a drug is because it's a mind altering substance. You got that? And you don't have to go to the drug dealer to get your drugs. You don't have to go to the liquor store to get your alcohol. You know, all you have to do is go inside of your mind, you right. see, and you can get that lust inside of there. Right. And so what happens is that relapse, and usually not usually, for the most part, when people start being sexually active, when they go on break, guess what? What do they usually do when they do? They get under the influence. They're already under the influence of the drug, of lust. Now, let me self-medicate more with alcohol or drugs, you see? Yeah. And so it's like, you know, it's like a vicious cycle. And so that is that, like getting back to that 30 days. And so you want to make sure that when you're detoxing, that you look at the things that you struggle with, because we all struggle in this category. And John, it says, I think it's either 1 John or 2 John 2, 15 or 16. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The things that are in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Okay. It's not of the Father, you see. And so that's something that we all have. And another thing you can do, you can take the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You can crank it all the way back to Genesis with Adam and Eve. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, right there. Yeah. And so if we can identify those things and we can talk, getting back to your original questions, if you can talk about those things and not have them keep you sick, that's where freedom comes at. And then it's not as bad as you think if people find out different things. Matter of fact, what's going to happen is that you're going to be free. You're going to be free because you've been able to talk about these things and you have your identity. You know that all your sins are forgiven because in Romans says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's why you got to keep pounding the word, because your own mind will work against you. But that's why the one that you used in Romans, it says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so that's something that we have to keep doing, because where our flesh will work against us. Mm-hmm. All right. I keep taking up a lot of time. Go ahead.
Listen. And I think that's one of the things that made David so powerful in his Psalms, because he was just completely transparent with how he was feeling. Mm-hmm. Just his thoughts. And I think just the whole reflection process in that is freeing. And I remember taking an Old Testament class, and we ended up having to write our own Psalm.
Oh, is that right? Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
And I was like, wait. So, yeah, you write your own song. That means you got to get down and dirty with it, right?
Yeah. I expect to hear that on one of your podcasts, brother. Yeah. I'd say, okay. All right, listeners. Did you hear that? Okay. Coming up, he's going to read us his song. Yeah. That's good, man. I haven't heard that before, but that's good that I haven't heard anyone do that before.
But it's when you talk about free, that gives you a whole nother level of free, because you're putting out what God already knows, but you're actually, it's almost like you're revealing it to yourself. So when I think about that, I was like, you know, just that whole mental aspect and just being in a healthy place. Mm-hmm. And the people that you've actually spoken to over the years, what are some of the benefits of being in a healthy place mentally, besides that freedom part? Or do you think it's primarily the freedom part?
No, it's one of the things that I work with. Once again, I can hear things. God bless me to hear things. And then he gives me certain things, like, you know, that I can write down and make it applicable. Like Jesus, when he was teaching, he spoke in parables, because it's like it's practical applications.
Yeah.
And so this particular thing that I came up with, and it, I actually came up with it when I was in a counseling session talking with someone, and I drew a circle on the page so they can see it. And then I put like a squirrely line through it on the circle. And it was just a little section in the lower right-hand corner. And so in the big section, I would write the word flesh. Then in the lower section, I would write spirit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because we always have God's spirit as far as our soul, that this innate feeling inside of us, belief inside of us, that we do believe in God, a higher power, you know, God being our higher power. So that spirit is always going to be there. But in this diagram, what's predominant is the flesh, you see?
Yeah.
Right? And so I get people say, now, how do you feed your flesh? Because you got it. You have to see. Mm. You have to see how you are feeding your flesh. How do you feed that flesh? Okay. Because the flesh and the spirit, the Bible teaches, are contrary to one another. So how are you feeding? How are you feeding your flesh? Right?
Right.
How are you feeding your flesh? And so you start writing those things down. You write them down. And those are things that you want to be working on. And mind you, you need help in that, because your flesh works against you. It has the ability to suppress things, you see, because that's what it's been doing. That's what it's been trained to do, is to suppress things. So that's why accountability is important. That's why praying to God is important. God, help me to unearth, if you will, right, those things I need to unearth. And God will help you, because you're asking him. And God is not going to be like, nope, you're stuck. Right. I don't want to help you. You did it. You get it. No, that's not the that's not the kind of God we serve, you see. And so you start, you know, and so I would start doing that, right? Now, I would draw another circle. And as we make progress, and as they start doing these things, the spirit is now growing. We would draw the line where there's more, it's more, more spirit than it was previously.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
You said before. And then you keep working on those things. So now it's the complete opposite. You have what's predominant is the spirit. And you write down the things that you've been doing to feed the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have that flesh, which is always going to be there with us. And so it's a saying, what you feed, and I don't know if I came up with this. I might have, I think I came up with it, but you know, to God be the glory, that what you feed will grow and what you starve will die. Okay. So if I'm feeding the flesh, it's going to grow. If I'm feeding the spirit, it's going to grow. Okay. What I neglect, what I don't feed, the spirit is going to die.
Die.
Right. And, yeah, and vice versa. And so now here we go. Along with that graph or that diagram, I drew a, sometimes I put it in a circle. Sometimes it's just a straight line. Boom, straight line. It comes down. And I put a line away from the straight line, like, what's that? Horizontally. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom. And then I put a circle at the end of that line, and I put M/E in that one. Then I go to the left side of that straight line, and then I put another line with a circle in it, and I put the P, a P in it. Then I come to the right side, slide it out, put a circle at the end of that one, and put an S in it, right? And then I also put like a little arrow, like a little bow and arrow, like the pointing in that direction, and they're all going out. I say, and I would say, okay, this is how your life is right now. But by you coming in here and you wanting to get help, we are now going to reverse those arrows, like coming to that center line.
Mm-hmm.
And that center line, put a C, and I didn't come up with this. Mm-hmm. I just put C for center. And this one lady that was a young lady that was in counseling with me, she says, is that center line Christ? Right. I said, it is now.
Yeah.
So whoever that young lady was, I was like, so that's that center line is Christ. And so now the M and the E is your mental health, your emotional health, missional, mental, emotional health. The P is for your physical health. And the S is for your spiritual health. You see?
Yeah.
Then I would ask people, say, which one do you think is the most important? Which one do you think is the most important? Right? And the majority of the people, if not all of them, would say the spiritual health is the most important. Mm-hmm. And I would disagree with them. And I say, nope. They're equally important, because they have that saying, you know, you could be so spiritually good that you're no earthly good.
Right.
So I would say, nope, they're equally important. And so when you leave from here, I want you to work on all three of them, Now, you can't give them a lot to because it could be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So I just tell them, you just work on them. And I give them examples how you can work on them. Okay, with the spiritual health, this is what I want you to do. 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Read a passage of scripture, right? And talk to God about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. 5 minutes. Okay? Boom. Now, for your physical health, Walk around the block. And if you can't make it around the block, just walk a few street lights and then come back in.
Yeah.
The house. You know, just do a little something. Right. And you know what happens is people start off, you know, man, I could go farther than a couple street lights. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so they do that and they feel good about themselves, right. You know, because they're doing something. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I encourage them. And this is something I've been teaching for a while. And I practice, as you can see right here. You see what I got right here?
Yep. Your gallon of water.
Now, yeah. Some days I drink a whole gallon, you know, and sometimes I, you know, but I have to drink it every day because that improves your health. You can improve your health just by drinking water, not unless you have some other kind of ailments that, you know, will cause you to be bloated or retain water. But for the most part, you know, increasing your water intake does great wonders because as I heard before, say we're like 80 or 90% water, right? You know, 80, 90% water. Mm-hmm. So that's like right here, you know, so at any given time, we're this close to drowning. No, just joking.
I know.
No, that wouldn't happen because we usually dehydrate it. No. Right. All right. But for real, you know, so I say just increase your water intake, you know, whether it's 3 cups, 4 cups, whatever it may be, you know. And here's something that I like to do. I just got rid of one. It's like, I take this, right, and I wake up in the morning and I have a start time. Then I come down about here and I write 7 o'clock, right? Then I come down here, right, 8 o'clock, you know, 9, 10. And then at the bottom, I want to be done by 12 or 1. So I write a 12 or 1 underneath that. And so to me, that challenge, I love a challenge, you see. And right. So that is a challenge that I have for myself. When I, you know, get to, you know, if I want to just challenge myself to get more water. So you go back to that physical part. So doing some physical exercise, increasing your water intake. You know, I don't even talk about staying away from the junk food or anything like that. I'm just like, hey, just increase your exercise and your water intake. And then another thing I encourage them to do is there's one more thing that I encourage them to do. Okay, the water. Boom. Oh, sleep.
Oh.
Sleep. Oh my goodness. Sleep. You know, it's so important, you know. So, get to bed early, you know, if you can, you know, and then a big thing that I tell, and I didn't know this till I was there in California years ago. I went to get a sleep a sleep study. Yeah, I went to go get a sleep study out there at the military base. And so they have all these things. They're asking you questions. Do you look at your, do you look at, and so you go out there and it says, do you watch TV right before you, are you watching TV right before you go to bed? I'm like, yeah. And then do you look at your cell phone before you go to bed? I'm like, yeah, you know? And it's like, okay, you know, and they have all these statistics, you know, like, okay, that's why you are not able to, you know, get good sleep. And they talk about the different lighting that's on TV screens and on your cell phone that sends signals to your brain that it's daylight. Hey, we're trying to go to bed, you know, and you got this light and it's like daylight, you know. And there's a lot of truth. There's a lot of truth to that, too, man. It's a lot of truth to that. Okay. Yeah, but anyway, the research is out there. You know, it just, it, you know, and I've, you know, experienced that multiple times. So I, you know, try to get them to, you know, get some good rest and to, you know, not to be, because usually what happens, and I've been guilty of this multiple times. And, you know, right now I'm on a good phase of my life. It's like, okay, I put my phone in the other room. You know, and I challenge other people to do that. And they say, well, I use that for my alarm clock. I say, okay. All right. Let me tell you what. Go to Walmart, spend $4 or $5. Yeah. Get one of those little ugly alarm clocks that they used to have before. Right. Right. With the little glow in the dark heads. But you got to practice what you preach. So I got my little ugly clock upstairs too, you know. Yeah, you see yourself. So what happens is that, okay, so now I don't have my phone in this the same room. Now, sometimes I tell people, I say, hey, you know, take your phone and put it underneath your bed.
Yeah.
Right. And because the first thing that you do when you get up in the morning, you're going to have to get your phone. And when you get down to get your phone, you're on your knees.
Yeah.
Guess what you could do on your knees, brother? I give it up to God, you know? Thank you for another day, Lord. You know? You know, say a prayer. Say some prayers, you know?
That's right.
Then reach for that idol, you know? Right? Right. And that is something that I try to get people to practice and, you know, practice my own self. I practice that myself, I should say, because I don't want the first thing that I pick up in the morning to be my phone. And I don't want the last thing that I have in my hand is my phone, you see. And so, you know, and it takes work because we become attached to it. Is that I did do some pictures with an empty IV bag, and I put a rubber band with my cell phone around it, right? And I didn't have a needle, but I had the hose look like I had a needle and it was going into my forearm, like an IV, you see. So like, that's like my addiction, my phone, that because that's true. Mm-hmm. It's so true. You know, it alters our mind, you know, just like the likes that you get, the different things that come up, you know, the different comments and different things like that. So now let me back up to the mental and emotional part. Okay. So now you have the mental, emotional health. How do you work on that? Okay. So you have spiritually, that's helping because they all work together. Okay. They all work together. When I'm working on one, I'm working on the other. It's going to help the other. So now you ask me about how does that affect your mental / emotional health? Right. This is how it affects it, because you are actively working on all areas of your life, your mind, body, and soul. And what does the word says? You should love the Lord thy God with all of your strength, all your mind, body, and soul. Okay, you see that? And so that's what you're working on. You're working on your mind, you work on your body, and you're working on your soul. You see? And so that is golden because you are doing that. And God sees your efforts and he's going to reward your efforts. You know, we can't expect God to bless sin. He's not going to do that.
Right.
But when you are doing that, and, you know, this it's a narrow road, you know, not many people travel on that road.
Mm-hmm.
So you get God's attention. You know, you get God's attention when you are honestly seeking him with your heart, mind, and soul. You see the power in that?
Yeah,
that's where the power is at. And that's what God is looking for. And God's the one who has all power.
Right.
And people will say, you know, you know, that there, you know, it's proven to work because God is a loving God. God is loving. He just gives you a choice of what you know, what you want to do. So, yes, mental health is so very important, but it has those other components, like you say, like the physical health as well, and the spiritual health. And this helps. This has helped me, and it's helped so many more that I work with to be able to, you know, achieve what I call success in life, being able to work on you and to grow your identity in Christ. That is what success is. It's never going to be measured by your bank account, the kind of car you drive, the bling that you have. It's never going to amount to it's not because you can look at today, and you could see, you know, all the people that have all the bling and all the nice cars and jets and all that stuff, and they're miserable and they die. They commit suicide. You know what's been going on in the news, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, you know, it's just like, wait a minute. You know, this person had so many hit work records. Uh-huh. You know, this person, you know, it's like, you know, the king of pop, you know, all this stuff. How do they die?
Right.
They die. Some of them die alone because a doctor injected them with something to help them feel good, or they die on their toilet, or they die in an elevator in their mansion. You know, I'm not calling any names, but you look at, or they put a bullet in their head, you know, and we say, wait a minute, you know, why is that? Because they thought that there was going to be a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and all it was deceptions from Satan. You see, but let me finish this and you can ask the next question. This part right here. How do you work on your mental and emotional health? How do you work on that? So I wanted to address that. Is what I have people do is, and like sometimes people come in for counseling and they do need medication. Okay. Sometimes they're on medication and they don't need to be on medication, right? But my degree, my doctorate is not in medication, it's in clinical Christian counseling. So I cannot make any recommendations as far as, you know, this or that, but, you know, you can ask roundabout questions, you know, like, okay, how do you feel that's working for you? Right. And they can say, well, it was working good. You know, I said, well, you know, talk to your doctor and I kind of know what he's going to do next. Right. So you do. I said, yeah, just go talk to him. Right. They go talk to him and they come back, you know, a week or two. And I said, okay, did you go see your doctor about that? He said, yeah. He said, I said, what did they do? Yeah. Oh, well, he increased it. I said, oh, okay. All right. So we talk about different things that's going on, right? I'm thinking of this one guy right now. He was a student out there at Davis, right? So he comes back in and a couple weeks later, guess what? You know, it you know, was working, but it's not working anymore. I said, okay, so what are you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to talk to my doctor. I said, okay, you talk to your doctor, you know, but I already know what he's going to do. Okay. So he goes, sees the doctor, you know, and then it goes on, you know, he's like, hey, he increased it. Well, it gets to the point where it's a maximum dose. I said, okay, you know, I know what he's going to do next, but go ahead, you know, like that to come back. I said, what did he do? Oh, he changed it to a different prescription. You see? Okay. So he goes on and he says, you know, how do you know all this? Well, I've been around the block a few times, you know. God has given me insight, you know, on this, you know. And but the bottom line is there's no medication for sin. There's no medication, you know, for sin, right? So while they're doing all of this, you know, I'm working on, you know, whatever they're struggling with. Okay. That's what we're working on. Boom. That's it. And the Holy Spirit is there helping me. God's word is helping me. Mm-hmm. I encourage them to do their part, you know, on a mental, emotional level. And then one big thing that I have people do is journaling about your emotion and feeling. What is going on up here? Mm-hmm. What's going on in your mind? And you want to be able to journal that, write it down. Write it down. And people have a hard time writing down, like you were talking about earlier, have a hard time writing down things because people have been violated because they've written things down and people found it.
Right.
Right. So I have this app that I've been using for years and years. It's called Penzu, P-E-N-Z-U. And it's one is password protected that you can put on your phone. And so, and once again, somebody, I encouraged somebody to do that. They came in, they said, oh, I found this really neat app. And so they showed me the app. And guess what? I can show you on my phone right now that I have that app on my phone and I've had it for years, you see?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, because it's always good to be able to, you know, to do journaling. Oh, it's this one right here. But you can't see it. Sorry, folks, you can't see it online, but you can go to your Play Store. Yeah. Mention this channel and they'll give you a 10% discount. No, just joking. And so getting people to journal. Now, what would happen, the power of journaling is you get to see what's playing. You get to see what's playing inside of your in your movie or your video, you know, or your track, your mental track up there. Then I would have them bring it in. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we talk about what they wrote down, you know, and it's very powerful because we can talk about what's going on, their thoughts, their emotion and their feelings.
Right.
That is playing in their head, because if we don't stop and take a look at it, it's just going to continue to play. Mm. Track is going to get larger. Okay. And I remember this one was classic. I was working with this college girl. She came in and she was doing journaling. She came in and happy to be in counseling. She plopped down on my couch. Mm-hmm. And I said, how's your week been? Oh, it's been great. It's been great. Like that. So you do your journaling? I said, yeah. I said, well, let's open up with a word of prayer and let's get to it, you know, because you can come up with all kind of therapists can come up with all kind of gimmicks and, you know, do this in books. And some books are good. Yeah, some books are good. But nothing is going to get to what's in the heart. You see what I'm saying? Nothing is going to get what's in the heart. And so they come out. They pick up on the last day that they had a counseling session. So say it was on a Tuesday. And so they start, you know, with Wednesday. And so they start, boom. And this particular day, and I can remember it was on a Thursday. So she goes and she's talking about, maybe it might've been Tuesday. Tuesday, you know, Tuesday was a great day. And she was, you know, just telling about what she did on a Tuesday. Wednesday was another great day, you know, boom. And Thursday, you know, she got to Thursday and she turned like a mannequin. She froze, right? She just froze, just froze looking at her phone, right? She's just froze. And so usually when people do that and experiencing something, you don't want to say anything, you know, to interrupt whatever is going on. This went on so long, I had to interrupt her.
Right.
Like, okay. You know, it's been 5 minutes. You okay? No, it hadn't been that long.
Right.
But it was longer than normal. And I said, what did you write? She paused and she says, I was thinking about killing myself that day. Right. And it was a shock to her. It was a shock to her. Right. Because she said she had a great week. But the enemy planted that in her head. She should kill herself on that day. Right.
Right.
So quite naturally, like in your profession, in my profession, somebody saying this, you got to ask if there's a plan. Do you have a plan?
Right.
You know, do you have a plan? Because people could think about killing themselves and it just be a thought. Other people can say, yeah, I got a rope underneath my bed and there's a tree in the backyard. You know, then you say, OK, this is a whole different level now.
Right.
You see. So anyway, we talked about it and we talked about, you know, like the triggers. And she shared what her triggers were about being brown, a certain family member. Right. And so that's just part of one of the things about journaling. You got to, you know, write down what's, you know, what's going on.
Right.
You know, you write down your temptations, you write down things that you, any and everything. And I would tell my clients, you don't have, it doesn't have to make any logical sense. You know, I don't even have to read it. You just got to, you know, be able to read it yourself and being able to, you know, to talk about it. And I'm a big journaler because I believe in journaling because it helps me. It connects me. It connects my mind, body and soul together because I'm writing down, you know, what's going on. Right. And it doesn't have to be, anything negative. I was thinking about the last time that I just got so in my head that I had to go. I went to church and, you know, at church, after church, they offer an invitation song to be able to come forward, you know, if you need prayers or if you've fallen away, or if you want to get baptized, you know? And so that Sunday I was sitting all the way, in the back and I just had all this stuff going on inside of my head. And that lesson, because when you go to church, listeners, when you go to church, God is talking directly to you. Don't ever think he's talking to somebody else. He's talking to you. He's not going to waste your time, you know, by you coming to church and say, okay, we're going to, I'm just going to talk in reference to those people over there got things going. No, he's talking to you too.
Yeah.
You see, every time, every Bible lesson, every sermon that you go, you need to be listening with pen and paper in hand because God is giving you his message. He's using his messenger to give the message, you know, to you. Right. So I'm sitting there and this guy, you know, he's just like, you know, you try to do things on your own and you get so confusing and stuff like that. I wanted to walk down in the middle of this lesson. That's me. That's me. Whoa, whoa. You know, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait till he got to the end. So I go forward and say, hey, I just got a lot of things going on. I just trying to get sorted out inside my head, you know. And I think this was when I was thinking about getting running the four YouTube channels and just a lot of things like that. So it was all good things for God, all good things for God. You see what I'm saying?
You just got to prioritize sometimes.
Yeah. You got to prioritize and you got to sort out what is hairy and what is of God.
Right.
You see, because everything that's of hairy is not of God.
Right.
You see how that works?
Yeah.
Right. And so, and guess what? When you go forth, you know, because the devil doesn't want you to go forward, right? Because we talk about that mental health. We talk about that spiritual health. You know, he doesn't want the flesh. Our flesh doesn't want us to reach out, doesn't want us to reach out for help. So, but I've been doing this a long time with the Lord, you know, and I can't let my degrees get me tripped up.
Right.
I can't let my military, I can't let my boxing championships, I can't let any of that stuff get me tripped up because God, he resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble.
Right.
You see? So you know, people look at me, you know, different, like I have it all together. And would I say I have it all together? No, I don't have it all together, but I know how to keep it together.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I don't have it all, but I know how to keep it together. Uh-huh. You know, and that's what God is. He's a glue, the Trinity, the Holy Trinity is a glue that keeps me together. You see. And so you go forward you're with that and therefore your mental health and your physical health and spiritual health are intact when you are working on it. And so with that graph that I gave you with the circle and the Christ line doing the middle and then boom, and it's now moving forward. Well, you do checkups. Where are you at now? Mm-hmm. Where are you at now? You know, and you want to be making forward progress till all three of those are lined up. All three are lined up. Okay. And the number one thing that you have to do to keep them all lined up is keep doing the same thing you were doing. keep doing it. You keep doing the same thing you were doing.
Yeah.
Right. to get there, you see. And then that, like they say, at every new level is a new devil. So that's you right. have to look, you have to look at different things that are going to be distracting you, because Satan is going to be trying to get you to get one of those things. Mm-hmm. Give up on your physical health, you know, say you're too tired, you can't be able to do that. Or the mental, emotional, you forget about the journaling, right? Yeah. Or spiritually you're reading. And I can't tell you how many times people have called and they say, Dr. Washington, you know, we need to come back in for counseling. Or I need to come back in for counseling. And you know what I say to them? I ask them, hey, remember that graph?
Yeah.
Remember that graph that we did? You know, have you been doing this thing? Because it's a simple graph. Mm-hmm. Graph. Have you been working on your mental, emotional health? Have you been working on your physical health? Have you went, you know? And 100% of the time when they're calling back for counseling, it's because they've dropped the ball on one of those. Right. I say, I'll tell you what, I'll see you again. But I want you to work on that for 2 weeks mm-hmm. to give me a call back. Guess what?
They don't call back.
Now, people would want people, because therapists want that money and they right. want to come, you know, come in, you know, and it's like, no, it's not about the money. It's about and not keeping people sick. It's about allowing Jesus to get them well.
Right.
And so they can have that life, not only just that life, but have life more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
And so, yep, that's a long way to your that's a long way around to your answer, my brother.
So I know you do like a lot of journaling and all that kind of stuff. Is that one of the things that you do just to kind of, you know, take time to when you need to be alone and recharge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do it at different I do it at different times, like in the morning. What I'm trying to do, you know, my devo. And if I have time, I want to tell you about my college roommate and about mm-hmm. prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I do in the morning, and I learned this from the greatest teacher of all, and that's Jesus Christ. He would get up early in the morning. Right. He go pray. You see,
mm-hmm.
he go spend that time with the Father. You see. And so in the morning, that's what we want to do. We want to, you know, connect with the Father. You know, he's connected to us. He's connected to us. We're spiritual being, but are we connected to him? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so you want to acknowledge that you are connected, and you want to write down what's going on. And so you're trying to have your devo. Right. And like most people, you want to get your day started, and there's so many things you have to do
mm-hmm.
all around me. I have sticky notes. See some orange right. ones. See some. here's a pink one. You know, I live on sticky notes, right? And so what I do is I write down. Okay, like I'm trying to do a devo. Something pops in my head. I got to do. I write it down.
Mm-hmm.
I write it down. Right. Same thing before you go to bed. If you got things, oh man, I got to do this. Write it down so you can download it and you can pick it up in the morning.
Right.
Okay. So journaling helps me. I start laughing because, you know, if this was a video, I would show you this. So during with the four videos and writing books, things just got bizarre. What am I going to record next? Which one needs a video? This, that, and the other. So I got so overwhelmed in my head that I got a cardboard box, and I cut it open, right? And I went into the room just over here, and I laid it on top of my wife's like big old sewing table. It sits really high, right? And I got a pen and markers, and I just start journaling. I start writing things out, boom, mm-hmm. but just writing out, you know. What's my number one focus? Stay connected to the Trinity. What's my number two focus? Be emotionally, physically, and spiritually available to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. You see, boom. Those are two things. Everything else comes underneath that. You see?
Right.
And so being able to write those things out. So when it comes to journaling, that's my time.
Mm-hmm.
Be able to spend alone. When it comes to reading God's word, that's my time for being in God's word. You see, going for a walk in nature is my time, spend time. Going to the gym, listening to music, that's my time. That's my time alone. You see, and so you have to look for that time where you can be alone. Some people are in the workforce. Well, you get 30 minutes for lunch or an hour for lunch, whatever time you get, you know, don't go spend it. Oh, well, you can spend it on your phone, but what are you going to, you know, what are you going to be looking at on your phone? Is it going to be idle? Is it, it's going to be, you know, productive, you know? And I remember this one client that I had, and I would say before you get home, cause he would come home, got exactly what his job was. Like even for you and your job, you know, high stress job, and you know, always got to be on your toes and everything, right? You know, and then now you got to come home. And I tell people, don't go straight home. You know, pull over to a park, walk around, sit in your car, you know, and download. And remember, you now have to switch hats. You're now switching your hat from a work hat to a father's hat, a parent hat, a mother's hat, a wife's hat. You have to do that. You got to be able to take that time before you go in, right? I was working with this one guy, and he says, he goes in, he said, it's not working. Not working, you know. He's all upset and frustrated. I say, well, because he's going home, he's pulling over, he's taking, I don't know if I was having to take 10, 15 minutes, you know, then go home like this. He's not working. It's not working, right, like this. And I say, are you pulling? He says, yes, I'm pulling over for 15 minutes like this. I say, well, in those 15 minutes, what are you doing? He said, I'm listening to the news.
They get worse.
I said, okay, stop listening to the news. Just sit there. just sit there, you know. And he went back and things were better, you know, because you sit there, you decompress, you think about God, you pray, you count your blessings. And say, I want to be emotionally available for who's at home waiting for me.
Right.
Waiting for me, you know. And so you have to, you know, you have, and here's the thing, you're not going to have time if you don't make time. That's about people say, I don't have time. Just like I say, I tell people to pray with their family. You know, you pray with your kids, pray with your spouse, you know. And they say, we just don't have time. I say, but you have time to curse and fight. And argue, right. Don't you?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, yeah, so okay. You got to take some time, you know, take time to pray. So yeah, that's what I encourage, you know, people to do, to find the, you know, find their place where they can have, you know, can have that alone time to connect with God, connect, to connect with themselves,
right.
You know, and to see what's going on.
Hey, part two is down with one more episode to go. I hope you were blessed by Dr. Washington's wisdom and his willingness to expose himself by being transparent. It takes a while to get to that point, but nevertheless, he's there. And that's the area that we all need to work on. But it's needed to elevate your own life to another level. So you all be blessed. Have a good week. And remember to become the best version of yourself.